that's what we're doing. Electronic Village Online and Minecraft.
Just one second, sorry. Would everybody just make sure that your audio is muted? You can do that by over in the left-hand side of your Zoom screen, there's a little microphone, and you can click on that, and it will just mute your audio, just to cut down on feedback.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks.
Elizabeth Ann from Grenoble. So she's in my PLN, I guess. She's in the EVO. EVO is Electronic Village Online. I don't know how many of you are familiar with EVO. We're going to talk a little bit about it, but Elizabeth Ann certainly is. So anyway, this next slide, you have a link where if you want to see the slides on your computer, this is in Google Docs or Google Slides. So you can go to tinyurl.com/EVOMC16-Vance. And if you hit that, then you'll pull up these slides. So just for the record, this is created for Moodle Palooza. And there's a link to it for people who might be coming along virtually and seeing the recording. And this is January 12th, 2016. And this is also a Learning Together session. Learning Together is something I do in addition to EVO. But if you're not familiar with EVO, let's see, the best way for me to do this, one really nice affordance of online sessions is you can actually pop out like this and you can hit the links and you can open them. So we can see about Electronic Village Online. It has several sessions. It runs every year in January and February. About this time in January, it just started. And it runs until February 15th. It's a 5-week session. There's a call for participation at evosessions.pbworks.com. And by the way, I might mention that in my slides, I always document things. So my slides they have some visuals, but also documentation. So the links that I'm going to are all in the slides. And the next slide, in fact, will be about this session that I'm doing, but I'm going to drive it from here. So this is the call for participation in Electronic Village Online. There are 16 sessions, I think. There's some information at evosessions.pbworks.com. And there's some of the sessions that you can take. There's classroom-based research for professional development, the DREAM Act, a session about copyright, and the Village is kind of interesting. It's done in Second Life. Actually, it's about making games in Second Life. And EVO Minecraft MOOC is one of the sessions, this one we're doing. So if you wanted to enroll in this session, you'd click on EVO Minecraft MOOC, and that would take you to our page. Each of these links goes to a page where you can enroll in the course. And this explains about the session. I'm going to sort of tell you about it, but people can look here and see what we do and how the syllabus is set up and what we do each week. And down at the very bottom, we find a link to our Google Plus community, which I'll click on here. And now maybe go back to we're going to explore that in a minute, but if I go back to the presentation mode, then that's the only thing that takes any time to put in. So basically, EVO Minecraft MOOC started last year. It was our first year. And the reason this session got started was because I didn't know how to play Minecraft. I was getting very interested in it. I'm not sure how familiar you are with Minecraft, but it's quite popular in K-12. I just went to the ISTE conference in Philadelphia this last year, and Minecraft was very present. Hi, Sonia. You need to mute your microphone.
Let me find it.
Thank you, Sonia. Okay. So I wanted to learn how to play Minecraft, but the problem was that I didn't have a community to do that, and I don't have a context for students particularly, where I can really play with students. But I'm really interested in gamification, basically, because Minecraft MOOC is not really about Minecraft so much as it's about gamification. It's trying to let teachers you get a better understanding of the concept of gamification through experiencing it, because we're experiencing our professional development basically through gamification. So I didn't really know much about Minecraft when I got started, but of course, if you want to learn something and you can make it a game and you can experience it that way, then that will, that's how I thought I could learn it. And then I got a community get together, and it got to be a very enthusiastic community. These are my co-moderators. Unfortunately, I can't really see them very well here. Let me see if I can pop out of here. I can show them to you a little bit better over here. So there we go. It's a little bit better. This is me, Vance. I'm actually in, this is my real picture. This is an avatar right here. Rose Bard, who's in Minecraft right now. Mariana Smolchitz and her son, Philip Smolchitz. Philip, we put his picture on a badge there. He's 11 years old. He was 11 years old. I think he's 12 now. And we've got Bronwyn Stuckey, who's quite well known in the virtual worlds. Aaron Schwartz and Jeff Kuhn are at Ohio University. They set up our server for us. And Barbie Buitish and Thomas Lawrence were participants last year, and we asked them to be moderators because they were so keen on what we were doing. So anyway, I was just about to show you the Google Plus community on Minecraft. And if we click on this link, it will open. And it's the place where we send everybody. We need a lot of some audio. Or maybe it's John. Maybe he needs to mute. He's coming into the session. So anyway, this is our Google Plus community page. And in this page, let's see, you can't really see the sidebar very well here. Let me see if I can make it, stretch it over here, position it where we can get the sidebar. Not sure where I'm not seeing the sidebar. Anyway, there's stuff in the side we usually see. Maybe I can make it smaller. Let me just try that. I can reduce its size. There we go. Okay, the sidebar, the sidebar came. Now, here there's a description of the of who we are. Interested educators, interested in playing Minecraft, learning all we can about playing, how Minecraft is being used effectively in language learning. And the way that this got going was we actually, Mariana Smolchitz, whom you just saw, she's one of the co-moderators, and her son, who learned English so well, they wrote an article for TESOL EJ. I'm on the internet editor for that. And I just wanted, and the link to the sidebar was linked to their article. So this is something we all wrote together. This is, there are people here who have used Minecraft with students successfully. Jeff Kuhn, one of our co-moderators, he teaches students about writing by setting up scenarios for them. About bicycle management. And Elizabeth, be sure and mute. Basically, this is Mariana's son, Philip. They're giving a presentation. This kid is getting a lot of presentation experience. The way he learns English so well is he is interacting with other people around the world about Minecraft, which is really phenomenal. I mean, his English is really quite fluent. So he was the focus of he and Mariana and me sort of got really interested in doing this session for language learning purposes. And so anyway, that's how we got started. And you can also see that you can learn how to play here. And we have a syllabus, which I might as well open as well. And I think that's over here. Let's put that over there. Okay, there's our syllabus. And Jeff has a video overview. There's a tag board. What we do is we tag posts EVO MC16. And tag board, I'm not sure if you're familiar with it, but it aggregates tweets. It aggregates Instagram, which none of us are really using. Mainly for us, it's very productive with Google Plus communities. And and Twitter. So it's aggregating our tweets so we can see what people are writing about the course that they're taking. And this is how to enroll. When you click on how to enroll, if you want to enroll in this session, you need to fill out a form. And this is the form over here. So basically, it asks you a lot of questions about what we're sort of trying to do with the form is to make sure to weed out the educators from the gamers who might be disruptive. We don't know, but basically, because we give badges in the course, we want to know if people are using their own name. And it actually gives us some data. Google Forms are interesting. They feed into a database like this. This is our database. So we have this information in database format, but also Google Forms is kind of nice because it gives it to us in graphic format too. So we have a list of people's names, where they're living, but you get some graphs. Have you introduced yourself? It looks like 73% of the respondents have done that. We see who's purchased the Minecraft game. So EVO sessions are normally free, but Minecraft is unavoidably has a little $30 charge. You pay for the login, and then you can download the software for free, or you can download the server for free. You can set up your own server if you want. But everybody who plays has to pay that little entry fee. This is the people who've got blogs and journals. Let's see, people who are having trouble with Blackboard Collaborate. Looks like quite a lot of people are, 40%, but they're still trying. Some have given up. And who our demographics are, K-12 teachers are 50% almost. Looks like most people are previous EVO participants. And which version of Google Communities are you using? The old version is the one. Oh, that's the new version. Let's see. Oh, some people don't know which version, okay, but those of us in the old version, 30% are using the old version, which is so much far superior to the new version, but looks like 25% like it, so okay. And anyway, everyone so far who's filled out the form is using their real name, so we were kind of interested in that. Okay, let's go back to the slideshow and see what's next here. Any questions? Well, now I guess I don't know, or I can't actually see the chat. So is there anything in the chat that I should know about? It looks like over here I can see it.
I don't see anything in there right now, but I can monitor it for you if you want.
Yeah. No, I just brought it up on the computer where I'm monitoring this session. Robert Walkman here. And he wants to know if he can watch it without taking one of the four video slots. He should be able to watch it. I think he's watching it, but yes. Anyway, the answer to that is yes. Broshta asks, how did you capture the data? Okay. We created a Google form. Let's see, I have to get this out of my, okay, there we go. We created this Google form, and the Google form feeds into a database like that. And all the questions that are answered in the form, sorry, these are the questions. The questions are answered in the form. The data goes into the database, and then Google takes the responses and processes them for you, so that's done automatically. So actually, that's something I just discovered myself. Surprisingly to many people, I don't really know all this beforehand. Everyone learns by doing. So the more involved you are in all this kind of online activity, the more you learn. So we looked at the Minecraft community. We looked at the community page, and we looked at the form, and the way we run our course, looks like I can actually pop it. Where have I clicked? Oh, if I click a link there, it takes me right out to the thing. This is the missions. We're running, the course is set up around missions. A mission, you accomplish missions to earn badges. Seems like it's taking a little while to get there. Let's see, get over here, okay. All right. Anyway, that goes to a wiki. Oh, maybe it's over here. That's it. That's the missions accomplished page. And basically, the course is set up on it's a 5-week course. It's set up on Dave Cormier's five steps to cope with MOOCs, orient, declare, network, cluster, and focus. And so each one has, right now we're in the first week, we're in the orientation week. This is important for people to know how we structure the session. So if you go to the orientation, you can see what you're expected to do in the first week. You're expected to figure out everything that I'm talking about right now and introduce yourself in the community, and you can get a link. When you introduce yourself in the community, I'll just show you that. If we have someone who's introduced themselves, okay, maybe this is mine. So I can pull this down and I can find a link to the post, and that link goes into the Google form and comes out in our database. So it's one of the questions in the Google form. What's the link to your to the community? You're supposed to put that link right there. So that's how you get it. And okay, so let's see. Anyway, we have, I think, six missions for the first week. When you accomplish those missions and you filled in the form and joined us in Minecraft, we have our Minecraft server, of course, and that is over here. This is our Minecraft server. We have people from our course in the server, although I can't do Minecraft and do my presentation, or I can't manipulate the Google Docs at the same time. We're in creative mode now. Creative mode is where the monsters don't hurt us. We just see the monsters, attack them with our swords. Oh, this doesn't like to be attacked. Okay. Oh, no, he just destroyed himself. Okay. So we learn in creative mode how to play the game. In creative mode, you have a huge inventory. You can get whatever you want, and you can pull it down into your inventory that you have available. But when you go into survival mode, which we do at about the third week or so, third or fourth week, then you actually have to learn how to build and survive in the game. But you also learn about gamification, because you learn that having friends in the game help you cooperate with your friends. You can cooperatively build shelters, or someone can build a shelter and you can go in for the night, and because you have to survive the night. The nights in Minecraft are about 20 minutes or so, and the daytimes are about 20 minutes. So you have a little time. This is my wife, Bobby, by the way. There she is, right back there.
Yeah.
Okay. So she and another moderator, Rose Bard, are here just showing a little bit about what things look like. And when we come here to learn, we interact in voice. Right now there's text interaction. So this is what people have been talking about. So Rose is going to fix the trains. I'm glad that, and Rose is telling Bobby how to ride the train cart. So now if we were interacting if we were all in the world together, we would be doing this over a VoIP. Last year we used Skype. This year we're trying to use Blackboard Collaborate, but we were experiencing problems with it. And that was one of the, we found that sets a little bit of a problem for us. But anyway, nothing's going to happen until, no, I'm not. Oh, I can put this on text and I can then get back to my server. That's interesting. I didn't know that. Okay, so anyhow, when you've accomplished the missions, you get badges. And this is a Minecraft Survivor's badge. Last year we had just one badge. So let's see.
I think you're breaking up, Vance, but I'm not sure if it's only for me or everybody. Yeah, I'm having a little bit of trouble with the audio too. There's like a lag, I think.
We're using the newer
Vince, can you hear us?
I'm not really sure.
Hey, Vance? Vance?
My Janelle here is trying to get my presentation. It's been kind of... What happened here? Okay. Did I lose my connection here?
I think so. For about a minute there, the audio was pretty laggy.
Okay. Okay, let's see. What could I do to get it back? Just share the screen again.
Yeah, yep.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. So, and there we go. Okay. Somehow I, now, okay. No. Okay, let me see if I can. I can't exit my presentation. This is a bit of a problem. Here we go. Ah, now it's responding again. Okay. Going back to, here we go. This is where we were. Okay. So I pattern my community sessions courses that I do on CMOOCs, on the CMOOC model. And I saw there were some questions about MOOCs, massive open online courses. I quite like CMOOCs, which is the connectivist MOOC, where people learn through interacting with each other, rather than having a top-down driven curriculum. So the theory in our session is actually we don't have a lot planned. It's done by magic. The magic is when you go into Minecraft and then you learn by doing it. That's really, that's how we learn. And it's also, Dave Cormier has been very influential in how I've structured this course because, first of all, I mentioned already his 5 steps of coping with MOOCs. I've dedicated 1 week of this course to each of those steps. Next week is declare, where people start writing about why they're there. And meanwhile, we're learning Minecraft. And then the third one is network. We'll learn a little bit more about Minecraft communities, other networks we can participate in. One of our moderators, Brian Stuckey, has her own networks for Minecraft. The fourth step is that normally MOOCs get very large, and you find people of like-minded bent, and they kind of cluster together. The last week is focus. So we're sort of taking it to the next step, at least in conceiving how it would go. And Dave has also done a lot of work on community as curriculum, which is actually a Vygotsky idea, I think. Well, I'm not sure where it went back, but or Wenger. Wenger's ideas of apprenticeship being basically what it means is that the people in the community drive the curriculum. They decide what they want to learn. We might set up a syllabus. As George Siemens said, your responsibility as a moderator in a MOOC is to give it coherence. But the coherence is there, but what the people actually want to do in a MOOC, they'll generally drive the curriculum, especially in a CMOOC. So the game is about having fun. And FUN is an acronym that I made up some time ago. It stands for frivolous, unanticipated nonsense. It's what teachers are supposed to tolerate in their classes if they really want to have fun. So in other words, you can't, we're premised here on the idea that we're really enjoying ourselves and learning through enjoyment and learning by, as in a game, you know, you kick the ball and someone catches it and they run and they collide and you see what happens, you know, so it's not, there are rules, but it's not scripted. So anything can happen in some kinds of games. And by the way, these rabbits come to us courtesy of Philip Smolchitz, and he's very good at generating a lot of rabbits. That's his trademark. So basically, at this point in the presentation, let's see what is on the server. So we'll do a little tour over there. Let me see. Okay, there we go. Here's our Minecraft server. Oh, back to the server. Okay, this is the server that they set up for us. We'll see if we can join it. Bobby is on in the background over there. So the server, we make available to people on a whitelist in this juncture of this rendition of our session. Trying to walk here. This is people are just building. This is what's called a flat map. And what happens is people who are in the session come along and they just start building things. And some of the objects you see here are actually monsters who are still out after the night. I'm looking for a big beacon that someone set up. Where is that beacon? Maybe I can't see it because of the rain. I don't know. Maybe I could fly. So let me I'll hit a couple of... Oh, there's the beacon up ahead. Yeah, so I'm trying to fly. I'm hitting the space bar. Well, let's just go to the beacon. The beacon has a couple of interesting objects in it. Aaron Schwartz set up, a sandbox for us over here. Looks like he's added to it. No, I don't know. It looks about the same. See, to get into the sandbox, I have to fly. Let me see if I will fly now. There we go. Oh, yep, I'm flying. Okay. So I'm flying and go forward a little bit and drop into this little sandbox here. Two clicks will send me down. Okay. Part of the lag is happening in Minecraft as well.
Vance, we're having trouble with the audio again.
I'll change the view here. There we go. So that's where I am right now. That's me. And I'm trying to drop into the sandbox. Great. Sorry, you can hear me. Oh, yes. We see a little bit of session. Maybe I'll just pop out of Minecraft. Oh, it's popped me out. So, anyway, do we interact with people in the chat, or do I go until 8? Not getting, yes?
Mm-hmm. Sorry, what's that?
Oh, were you having trouble hearing my audio?
Yeah, we were. I think what's going on is when Minecraft is open, it just cuts down on the bandwidth and the audio is a little bit laggy.
Okay. Yeah, well, hey, we never really got a good chance to test that. I tested it in my house here among different computers, and I saw that it was working well anyway, but obviously if you leave it on too long, okay, well, it's off now, so maybe we'll get it back. So my question was, should we leave some question time, or should I monologue more or less? What's the normal procedure for you?
Generally, we just kind of monitor the chat box for questions.
Okay.
We go until 11, so if you wanted to talk a little bit more, or if anybody had any questions right now, maybe that would be a good time to ask them.
Yeah, okay. So, so people are really just commenting on that in the
sense. Yeah.
And someone says they can see how it could be used for team building, and how does it help to teach a concept. That actually, Minecraft is kind of the reason I got so interested in it. It's used, and some people say they're challenged when they want to bring it into class. They're asked, is it in the curriculum? But they respond, no, the curriculum is in Minecraft, because just about whatever you want to teach can be you know, can be done in Minecraft. For example, Jeff Kuhn was teaching a class on creative writing, and part of the, I think they were they're doing crisis management, so he used Minecraft to set up scenarios that would let the students write about the crisis, a crisis that developed, and then how they would manage it. Because Minecraft is actually a way that to do real world things like that. You have to, you know, you have to basically survive in the world. And well, for language learning, Philip Smoltz is a very good example. But in that article that I showed you earlier, which, by the way, let's see, as long as we're here, we might as well, I'll go back and, well, actually, there's a list. If I just continue the presentation, we'll get, I think most of the rest of it is really about what we've documented. So I've made several presentations about Minecraft already, and in these presentations, I've built a kind of, you know, a case for Minecraft. You have access to this document. You can get this at tinyurl.com/evomc-vance, in case you joined us late. But anyway, all the links are live in this document. This is a Google slide presentation. So these are two presentations I made talking about this, and two more talking about our last rendition of the course. And presentations that we've recorded, because I do something called Learning Together every week. And as part of our course, we've given numerous presentations. Let me see this one with Braun, for example. Let's see if it will come up okay. I could just monitor that tab when it comes back. So these are sessions on Learning Together. What happened? When I clicked on it, I clicked on it from the tab. There we go. This is what we do. We kind of combine sometimes Learning Together with other events, such as Moodle Palooza and SL Languages, Second Life Languages, is a conference that happens every year. So basically, we record it. You can hear the recording. You can play the video. I'll do the same with this. I'll put this in this. This is learningtogether.net. This is a blog I keep. We're up to over 300 sessions. This, in fact, was session 300, episode 300. And basically, you can find all the links, all the recording links. So all these, let me put it in presentation mode again. We've done a lot of sessions, so we have a lot of other resources you can explore to answer questions such as, how does it help learning experiences? And these are some of the things we've written. The article with Mariana and her son, Philip Smolchitz, is the one, the first one there. Jeff Kuhn also wrote an article for Tesla EJ. And I think that link is actually hot. I'm not sure. I thought, maybe it wasn't. Okay, I'll go back and make it hot. And I wrote a blog post just recently about basically what I was planning to say tonight. And again, that link, I'll make sure and make it hot so that I can do that right after the presentation. So those are some places where we address the learning potential of Minecraft, and particularly in that first one I was showing you earlier, how we researched what other people were doing with Minecraft. For people in K-12, for example, if you're teaching history, you can set up scenarios in Minecraft. I teach aviation cadets. We could be setting up airports and things like that and letting them you know, build worlds. Engineering, mathematics, lots of anything that creative skills, a lot of creative thinking involved in that. The tiny URL link in the chat. Yes, well, you could do that. Somebody, it's basically, maybe someone could do that if I go, let's see if there's an, no, it's not there. Let me just pop out of this and I can stick it up here. It's a little bit hard for me to go and do that, but I can, this is the tiny URL link right here. So maybe someone can copy that into the chat. Okay. Elizabeth, my friend in Grenoble, says that engineers don't need extras, but I don't know. I would really disagree with that. It's not that they, whether they need it or not, but also you have to keep also in mind about your audience. If it's in K-12, these people are engineers who like to play, even where I teach pilots, basically. They still like to play. So, you know, I'm right at the interface where people are becoming engineers and might not, they might really be dealing in real world things. But the questions above, okay, questions above ours. Thank you, Erica, for putting that that link in the chat. Let's see, my mouse working here. So questions above, see if we find any. Do students have to pay to use Minecraft for language learning? Yes, you have to pay $30, or it's actually 29, 27, 28, 29, something like that, to buy a login. This program was developed by someone, I don't remember his real name, but everybody knows him as Notch, and he created a company called Mojang, which has made everybody millionaires in that company. The game is quite well developed. When you start playing it, you're very impressed. All the things that you can do, you have to power. For example, those train sets that you set there, that you saw there, or the lights have to be powered by something called redstone. The premise of the game is that you go into the earth and you find redstone. You mine things. You start out by walking through forests and cutting down trees, and you get sticks and you put them together. You construct things that you make a table. It's called a crafting table. And then you put things on the table and you can construct, say, a sword, a pickaxe. You use the pickaxe to dig into the earth. It wears out quickly. So you find things in the earth to make a stronger pickaxe. You learn this by going onto YouTube and seeing what other people have put there, and by going to the game and talking to people in the game. It's especially fun to go into the game and talk to people in voice, because you really learn a lot that way. So, for example, that beacon that you saw, that's a good thing to set up in survival mode, because it lets you find your house. You can get lost going around it, and when it gets dark, monsters come out. If you're not protected, they will kill you. But nobody really dies in Minecraft. You respawn. You come back. There are ways that you can leave things in hiding places in the chests. And so if you planned ahead, you can spawn, find your hiding place, open your chest, get some things back. Otherwise, you just have to start from scratch. Okay. I'm looking at the text chat over here in case anybody has any other questions. Okay, it's, we had a couple of people here who were from Maha, and Elizabeth Ann and Rose was here briefly. They were all in the EVO Minecraft MOOC session. It's a pretty enthusiastic group of teachers. Let me see if there's anything else I can show you in the. This is the article where we examined what people are doing with Minecraft in language learning. What students and children learn from playing Minecraft. There's a list of things: collaboration, creativity, peer tutoring, time zones, geography. This was, I think, Mariana's list of what she thought her son was learning. Okay. So there's really a lot to explore. But I'm not seeing any more text chat, so I don't know if you'd like to have transitions. If there's anything anybody would like to see more of, you can put it in the, we can always look at the community. This is some of the interaction in the community. People are mainly introducing themselves in the community. We organize things through categories. So let's see, introductions, for example. Here's Google Plus filters introductions or orientation things. I don't think there's much in orientation, maybe only my announcement of this session. Okay. Yeah, no, there's people have been posting on orientation, how to orient in Minecraft. So they specify that they wanted to have that in orientation. We've got a lot of pictures. That's kind of neat. In Minecraft, when you're in Minecraft, you click F2 to take photos. And these are some of the photos we've taken in world. And these ones at the top here are actually in my house. That's my granddaughter, 7 years old. These people are pre-literate. They're playing Minecraft. There's another example, too, in this article. This child here, she's 4 years old. So 4-year-old child who is, this is her aunt, gives her an iPad and she starts building. She says, Auntie, you don't have any worlds on your iPad. Oh, let me build you one. You know, so it catches the imagination of young people. And also, I'm finding old people like me and teachers and colleagues. So there's quite a lot to explore. I like Google Plus communities. I think this is one of the best tools for having user-friendly navigation. And see, anybody's had any issues with obtaining Minecraft? That's where you purchase it, from Minecraft.net. And of course, there are Minecraft communities. You can go into, you can network. Part of the networking we're going to do is finding other communities. For example, Minecraft in Education with 4,000 members. So there's a lot of credibility, a lot of established, there are a lot of educators are doing lots of neat things with Minecraft. Minecraft is coming to Oculus Rift. I think my wife put something about that. Anyway, there was it's a pair of glasses that gives you a slightly different view. So when you turn your head, you feel surrounded. Turns out that Google has also made a cardboard. They have Google Cardboard. Google Glass is very expensive, but Google Cardboard is very kind of inexpensive. You have an app for your telephone that gives you a split screen. You put the screen inside the cardboard, put it on your head, and the app lets you get an Oculus Rift effect. And it's done for just, I think New York Times was giving it away for free with a subscription to their newsletter. But you could probably make one yourself. That would be another good class project. Okay, well, I'm showing a minute to 8. And, there may be more questions. I'm not scrolling the chat. It's not a chat that scrolls. Yes. Okay. Elizabeth mentions the steep learning curve. This is interesting. When you actually, the people who are setting their students loose on Minecraft are finding, well, for example, one of our teachers that we interacted with in a presentation we gave at ISTE, has her students, you know, I mentioned that the curriculum is in Minecraft. She had her students write, convince, to justify their use of Minecraft. So her students were creating the justification and finding ways that they could use Minecraft to support their curriculum.
All right, do we have any last questions before we wrap it up here? I don't see any in the chat box here. Looks like a few people have left.
Yeah, Maha mentions that kids can be very creative. In fact, actually, this is a game where teachers learn from students. The students design things and the teachers, oh, that's neat, you know. And also the students tend to have Well, the students and Jeff Kuhn have the patience of putting all the pieces together. Jeff just goes, he built that big skyscraper and he went up there and he put flames at the top. And I found him up there just kind of putting things in, like building mosaic puzzles, puzzle mosaics, you know. What's that kind of puzzle, that saw puzzle, the jigsaw puzzles?
Yeah, the jigsaws, yeah.
They can create working calculators and other simulations. That's right. Someone created a working cell phone in Minecraft. We had it listed in our community. There's a post about that. That's kind of well known. Made a cell phone that works from Minecraft. And Bard Rose says that she's, by the way, her Minecraft name is Bard Rose. She's been learning from her 5-year-old son. I guess that's Emmanuel. And I learned from my kids too. People with kids are really the ones who do best at Minecraft, because it's a good activity to do with your kids. And mm-hmm. And it's also homeschoolers, people who are learning with their kids and really want to teach them something, yeah, are finding that Minecraft is a really motivating way to get their kids focused on their studies.
All right. Well, I need to open the other session up for our next presenter. But thank you so much, Vance. This was very interesting. And thank you for presenting with us today.
My pleasure. Thank you very much for the opportunity. Thank you.